Radio Prague News.
The President and the Prime Minister are meeting for a traditional New Year's lunch. Public broadcasters have begun airing campaign slots from candidates running in the presidential elections. And Prague's public transport system is running on a reduced schedule over driver shortages. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš and his wife Monica are having a traditional New Year's lunch with President Miloš Zeman and his spouse Ivana at the head of state's retreat at Lani near Prague. The two politicians gave flowers to the other's wives at the start of Tuesday's meeting. The two leaders were expected to discuss the current political situation at the lunch. Mr. Babiš is seeking support ahead of an initial vote of confidence in his minority ANO government. Mr. Zeman says he'll give them a second chance if the first fails. Meanwhile, the head of state will take part in the first round of presidential elections at the end of next week. The public broadcasters Czech Radio and Czech Television have begun airing campaign slots from candidates running in next week's presidential elections. The incumbent, Miloš Zeman, has not sent a clip, so Czech TV is going to fill the time allotted to him with photos and classical music. His spokesperson said Mr. Zeman was not actively participating, as this would represent a pre-election campaign, which the head of state is not leading. The first round of the presidential elections takes place on Friday and Saturday next week. If none of the nine candidates receives more than 50% of the vote, the front two will go through to a runoff 2 weeks later. Presidential candidate Michal Horáček is taking communist MP Zdeněk Ondráček to court for slander after the latter accused him of being a collaborator with the STB. In an interview, Mr. Ondráček said that according to available information, Mr. Horáček had collaborated with the communist-era secret police. However, a lawyer for Mr. Horáček said the available information referred to seemed to be the STB's own file on the presidential candidate. Mr. Horáček recently objected to moves to elect Mr. Ondráček as head of the Lower House Committee, overseeing the body that monitors the police in view of his past. The Communist Party deputy took part in a crackdown on protesters before the Velvet Revolution as a member of a riot squad. Czech Post is putting its prices up. From next month, the cost of sending an ordinary letter will jump from 16 crowns to 19 crowns, while registered letters will go up by 6 crowns to 44 crowns. Packages weighing over 2 kilograms will not increase in price. Czech Post, which has over 3,000 branches, says it has to increase the prices in order to ensure high quality and accessible postal services. Prague's public transport system is to operate on a reduced summer schedule over the next couple of weeks due to a lack of drivers, the news site eRusLess.cz reported on Tuesday. Intervals between tram, bus and metro services are to be increased by around 2 minutes. Regular services will be resumed on January 15th when drivers who earn time off over the holiday season return to work. Prague's public transport authority launched a recruitment campaign last year complaining of a lack of drivers. Services in towns near the capital are facing the same problem. The weather forecast: it should be largely overcast with the chance of rain or snow in the Czech Republic on Wednesday. Daytime highs of up to 6 degrees Celsius are expected. My name is Ian Willoughby and that is the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, Czech prisons are filled to overflowing after a respite. What are Czechs fearing over the next year? And we talk to a Czech couple sharing their experiences in their adopted country, New Zealand. All that coming up, so please enjoy. Five years ago today, a wide-ranging amnesty declared by the then-president Václav Klaus came into effect, freeing more than 6,000 of the Czech Republic's prisoners from jail. The move helped to ease overcrowding in Czech prisons, but only temporarily. Today, prison capacity is filled to 106%. Ruth Frankova reports.
Jsem se rozhodl vyhlásit dílčí amnestii. In his final New Year's address on the 1st of January 2013, the outgoing President Václav Klaus announced a wide-ranging amnesty applying to more than 111,000 people sentenced as well as suspects facing prosecution. The amnesty, which came into effect the following day, released around a third of the country's then prison population of around 23,000. The presidential pardon also halted the prosecution of several hundred cases running for more than 8 years, including some high-profile cases of alleged corruption dating back to the 1990s, causing a widespread controversy. President Klaus said the amnesty was intended to mark 20 years of the Czech Republic's independence, but refused to specify who exactly wrote it. That led to broad speculation about the move having been tailored to benefit some of those prosecuted for corruption and fraud. While the presidential pardon temporarily eased prison overcrowding, the situation didn't last for long. Of the 6,500 people released, about 2,000 people soon returned behind bars, and prisons which had been previously closed had to be reopened again. Petr Dohnal is the head of the Czech Republic's prison service.
Today we are dealing with prison overcrowding again. There are about 22,000 people in Czech prisons, and the capacity is filled to 106%. The overcrowding affects mainly high-security prisons. In some cases, there are up to 15 inmates in one cell, which of course makes the situation very complicated.
While the head of the prison service doesn't expect the number of prisoners to increase in the future, their numbers are also unlikely to diminish. In reaction to the rising numbers of prisoners, the government has repeatedly approved increases in prison staff, whose numbers currently come to around 7,500. At present, many prison facilities are being extended to offer more capacity, and a new prison in South Bohemia is to be built within the next 4 years. According to the head of prison service, Petr Dohnal, the situation could also improve with more alternative sentences handed out in courts.
I think courts have already started handling more alternative sentences. The prison service would definitely welcome if the number of alternative punishments and house arrests increased. Also, inmates would not be cut off from their families and wouldn't lose their jobs, which is often the case if they end up in prison.
Jak se bohužel v mnoha případech děje po příchodu do věznice.
Prison head Petr Dohnal ending that report by Ruth Frankova. Now, the arrival of a new year following the end of celebrations is often a period of hope, but also apprehension over possible worsening conditions and the unexpected. A poll commissioned by Czech Radio conducted by the Median Agency suggests that while a minority of Czechs are cautiously optimistic, many worry about having enough money, about migration, and about the possibility of a terrorist attack. Jan Wellinger reports.
When it comes to fears, a majority of Czechs, a new poll suggests, worry most about terrorism or the impact of wars abroad. In the poll, 68% of respondents said they worried about attacks in Europe by the terrorist organization Islamic State, calling that the number one threat, while an additional 25% characterized the danger as relatively serious. Second on the list were fears over the impact of wars in Syria or Africa and Asia, and a third was the escalation of conflicts between Russia and Eastern Europe, such as Ukraine, the Baltic states, and Georgia. The president himself, Miloš Zeman, again recently brought up the issue of terrorism in his holiday address.
If we're talking about NATO, I think the alliance should be far more active in the fight against Islamic terrorism.
And sociologist and head of the Median Agency, Ptemysl Cech, says it's no surprise that terrorist attacks remain a top concern for Czechs.
Fear of terrorism will have been fueled by attacks that hit Europe last year, as well as the media attention they received. After that, the poll revealed worries over the lessening of European and Christian values due to migration. People are also concerned about tax fraud and that there will not be enough money in the state coffers.
According to the poll, some 44% of Czechs expressed confidence that this year would be better than the last, but every sixth respondent questioned whether 2018 would really be better. Instead, they saw it as worse. Sociologist Přemysl Čech told Czech Radio that age played a significant role in how optimistic people were.
Mezi lidmi do 45 let většina věří.
Up to the age of 45, most people believe that this year will be better than 2017. But those over the age of 60, only one quarter of them expect positive changes. So older people are generally more pessimistic.
The survey was conducted by Median in the middle of December, that's the 14th and 15th of December 2017, and some 1,000 people took part. All of those who did were 18 and over.
Jan Wellinger reporting there on the hopes and fears for 2018. And now in this week's feature, we talk to a Czech couple who are sharing their experiences of their new home, New Zealand.
Barbara Pokorná and Lukáš Nápravník are two young Czechs who found their second home in New Zealand. The couple has been running a website called Czech Kiwis, where they share their knowledge about the country and provide all sorts of services for Czechs who want to travel, work or study there. I met with Lukáš and Bára during their recent visit to Prague, and I started by asking them about their very first visit to New Zealand.
It was in 2014 when we decided to travel to New Zealand just to have a change and try a new life in the other hemisphere. We arrived there in October 2014 and we start living in Auckland in the first place.
So you already went there with the intention to start a new life there. You didn't go there just as tourists.
No, not just tourists. We actually went to New Zealand and we both had a job already, so we basically arrived and I started my first job after 1 week.
Yeah, we both traveled on work visa, so we had work and we had a place where to start in Auckland, so it was easier than like on a working holiday visa.
So what did you do here in the Czech Republic? What did you do for a living?
I'm a pharmacist and I worked in a clinical research for a pharmaceutical company, and Lukas, he was a IT consultant for PricewaterhouseCoopers. So it was quite easy for us to change because the job was the same in New Zealand like here. We just transfer to different country.
But after some time, if I understand it correctly, you left the permanent job in New Zealand and embarked on a very different career.
That's correct, because we had our friends who visited us, and during their 3 weeks vacation, they explored more of the New Zealand than us, because we were basically living in Auckland, staying in Auckland CBD, and we were working Monday to Friday during the night. And basically our lifestyle was not very different and we really didn't enjoy New Zealand. So we decided to quit our jobs and travel. And of course, before we got a resident visa, so it was easier because we could stay in New Zealand for as long as we wanted. So what we did was we sold our car. We purchased a new car, which was much bigger, and we converted car to camper van and we started to travel all over New Zealand.
Yeah, it was after 1 year after we arrived to New Zealand. We changed completely the lifestyle and we knew how the freedom is. So.
When you first arrived in New Zealand, what was your first impression of the country?
I would say everything was much more relaxed because New Zealand is three times bigger than Czech Republic, but there is only 4.7 million people. So you can imagine it's not really a crowded place if you exclude Auckland and other busy cities. And everyone is much more friendly and relaxed. That's probably the main difference, I would say.
Yeah, people don't stress in New Zealand. They don't stress out. And if you meet someone, they start talking to you.
Would you say it is easy for foreigners to settle down in New Zealand?
I would say it's getting more and more complicated because the rules are changing continuously. But if you are lucky and you have working experience in IT and other fields, which are expected areas of future growth of New Zealand, it's quite easy to apply for resident visa and get resident visa. It's a lot of paperwork, but there is quite high chance for qualified people to get residency in New Zealand.
So it would probably be different if you arrived and didn't have a job and didn't have a place to stay. You were in an easier position.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
As you said, you left your jobs. So what do you do for a living?
Well, during our traveling, we started online blog, Czech Kiwis. and it became an online travel agency suddenly. It was a blog about New Zealand, and we saw what should we do, what would be the profit from the blog. So we start selling the air tickets and then travel insurance and then other services for Czech people going to New Zealand.
So what kind of services do you offer? Can you be more specific?
Yeah, so basically we are focusing on three main groups. People who want to move to New Zealand, get work visa and work in New Zealand and stay. People coming on working holidays visa. And people who are actually living in New Zealand and they are from Czech community. And we are basically leveraging our own experience from coming to New Zealand and coming all over the processes like application for tax identification number, application for and setting up the bank account and all those basics. So blog is full of those informations which are provided for free. And of course, people need to buy air ticket to fly to New Zealand, so we can help them with that. They need travel insurance, so that's what we can provide as well. If someone is coming to New Zealand on holidays, we can help them with their itinerary, so they can enjoy more of New Zealand, actually. And we can help them to arrange car rental, ferry crossing between islands, and there's plenty of other services we are considering.
My impression is that New Zealand is quite popular with Czechs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. There is 1,200 Czech people traveling there each year on working holiday visa.
Are you actually in touch with the Czech community in New Zealand? Do you have any idea how many Czechs are actually living there at the moment?
Well, the estimate is about 10,000 people traveling to New Zealand or living there each year. It's quite a lot, and there is quite a lot of Czech communities in each big city, Auckland, Christchurch, Wellington, Tauranga, and they also have a Czech schools for children. So there is quite a big Czech community, actually.
So you have been traveling around the country for 2 years now. Are there some places which you particularly like, and are there some places which you still plan to visit?
I think we both fell in love with South Island, which is less crowded. There is only 1.5 million people living on this big piece of land. And there is a lot of nature. You have mountains, you have lakes. You are always still very close to the beach. And what we did, we basically wanted to have new experience. So we used the service, which is called House Sitting. That's a website where you can basically find people offering their houses for free if you help them to feed animals or do some housework while they are away. And we spent 2 months or maybe 2.5 months in Great Barrier Island, which is 100 kilometers from Auckland. But that's completely different country. It's like a very separated island. So it's off the grid, no electric power other than solar or diesel. So you have to heat your own water with the firewood. I think there's only 800 people living here permanently, so it was really enjoyable. I remember one day we wanted to have ice cream, so we went to one of two shops, and Barbara was like, look, what's in the bay? And we came closer, and we found that there's probably like 20 dolphins swimming, so we just throw away all our stuff we had. We haven't had swimsuit, so we were just running to the water, and then we stopped at some stage and dolphins were coming our direction. And when we told other people, they were like, yeah, it happens quite often here. And not many people actually go to explore Great Barrier Island because it seems to be remote.
Yeah, it was really great experience, Great Barrier Island. It's real New Zealand, like it used to be maybe 50 years ago. Still people are waving on each other, they greet each other. Like Auckland is a different story nowadays. It's a super city, crowded and busy. So if someone wants to go to New Zealand, we recommend them to go outside Auckland, explore the country. And the North Island, the South Island, they are totally different. North Island is volcanoes and beaches as well, and green hills with sheep. And South Island, it's more about mountains and it's a lot of wilderness and forests. There are plenty of tracks we haven't been to yet, so it's on our list still.
We are now sitting in the studio of Czech Radio in Prague. How do you actually divide your time between New Zealand and the Czech Republic?
Well, our aim is to live from summer to summer. So we try to spend summer in Czech Republic, 3 months, to visit our family and friends. And to be honest, New Zealand winter is not my popular because it's not that cold in New Zealand. It's still like 10 degrees, but it's humid and wet. And we are not used to it. From Czech Republic, we are used to it's really freezing. But you walk inside the house and you are warm. While in New Zealand, you walk inside the house and nothing happens. It's still the same.
Yeah, there is nothing like double glass windows, isolation. It's all very basic and they don't mind. They still enjoy living in New Zealand. They don't do anything about it. They just survive the winter.
Would you say New Zealand is a destination only for young and adventurous travelers? Or would you say families with children can go as well and find their own way to travel?
I think that's the main beauty of New Zealand, that that's a country where everyone of each age or even every budget can enjoy, and even different level of fitness, because it's just a matter of planning. There is very beautiful places accessible by car, and you can go wild and you can spend 5 days somewhere in the forest and not to see anyone. It's still possible. It's more difficult, but it's still possible.
Yeah, even if you go on a road trip, just take the camper van and go on a road trip, it's still beautiful, and you see so many places, and with families you can see all the wildlife, the seals and penguins. So I think it's absolutely for everyone, and everyone will find something.
So where do you see yourselves in a few years' time? Do you actually see your future in that country?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely, we want to grow a family there. Yeah, I think it's the best place for a family.
Definitely.
Lukáš Napravnik ending that report by Ruth Frankova. It was first broadcast in July last year. If you have any comments, complaints or anything else about today's programme that you feel you need to get off your chest, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on those social media, Facebook and Twitter. We love them. We'll be very glad to hear from you. But that's all from me, Chris Johnston. Thanks very much for joining us and goodbye.